Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. Thanks for joining us for our show Part B. Usually have two people, sometimes three on a morning. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're broadcasting live September 9, 2020. We're going to talk with a gentleman I've known for a very, very long time. I remember I met Dr. William Wong, and I was doing a radio show, KLBJ Radio, and I think he was in San Antonio or something, and he drove up, and I'll ask him about it. It's William Wong. He's been around for quite a while, 45 years of experience in natural health and applied sports medicine, rehabilitation, knows a lot about physical medicine and a lot about sexuality things. One of his things that he keeps us up to date on, testosterone and making babies or just practicing. Knows a lot about supplements. He's got a great line of supplements with Dr. Wong's Essentials.com. And he's also been over the years a fellow that's talked about defending oneself either with martial arts or I guess even, could we say, maybe even weapons, Dr. Wong? Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah. Morning. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great. Remember when we first met? Was it, gosh, it must have been the late 90s. And I think you were in San Antonio.
I think we met at a trade show.
Oh, was it a trade show?
And then you invited me on your show. When I moved from Phoenix to San Antonio, you actually had me stand in for you a couple of times. You went on vacation and guest host your show on KLJ.
Is that right? I don't even recall it. Really? Good for you. How'd you do? Were you good? Were you great?
I think I did okay.
Wow. And you're in Texas, right, Doc?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Palo County. Mm-hmm.
I guess when push comes to shove as far as freedoms and no state taxes, and Texas is a pretty good spot, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's especially great for business because the state doesn't start taxing you until your profits get to be a certain amount. Excuse me. And then it's a very graduated tax. Isn't very heavy at all. The only states that have a better tax profile, I think, are Wyoming and Nevada.
Mm-hmm. So if you were forced for some reason to move, just a hypothetical, where would you go today? Mm-hmm. Where would you go?
Wyoming.
Wyoming?
Yep.
Why is that?
Got 80 acres up there in the southwestern part of the state that I haven't even seen yet.
Oh, you got 80 acres.
I've owned that for years.
Wow.
Yep. Owned it for years. The only reason I haven't moved up there is because in the winter it gets really, really, really cold, and my joints can't take that anymore.
Huh.
I'm an old guy now.
Nah, you look great. You're just a young kid, man. What are you talking about? Have you seen the Kevin Costner series? I think it's in Wyoming, Yellowstone.
A little bit of it.
Yeah, really well done. Yeah, great.
A couple of episodes.
Yeah, great.
Really beautiful country.
Oh man, So, Dr. Wong, you're a great student of politics and what's going on in the world with money, health, and freedoms. I know you've been really interested in this for a long time. So here we sit in September 2020, without asking you to be Nostradamus. What do you see on the horizon here, just in general? I mean, how are you feeling about your safety, your survivability, and others? To talk a little bit about your gut feeling these days of what's going on.
Well, I think the Democrats are going to create one hell of a stir before and after the election, regardless of what the outcome is. Trump is obviously going to win. They are probably going to create riots and a lot of destruction in the blue states. I don't see the red state so much having as many civil disturbances as the blue states will. Then the scenarios vary. either the regular citizens will get sick and tired of it, take the law into their own hands, since the local governments are not allowing the police to intervene, as in Portland, as in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And the citizens will arm themselves, and they'll make very short work of Antifa and BLM. If one untrained 17-year-old can take out three Antifa guys, what can a trained combat veteran do? So either it will be a very short period of civil disturbance, or the scenarios run to everything from nuclear war with Red China in October to asteroids falling from the sky between October and January. NASA talked about that. The scenarios run the gambit from the intelligence folks to the psychic folks. So take your pick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, isn't it fair to say, Doc, though, that most of the blogosphere, I think their currency is mostly fear, right? And you know, right. So, I mean, I don't even know who to believe. You know, I don't kind of believe any of them these days, because it seems like the more crazy you get, the more people, you know. I get these emails, as you can imagine, during the show, and I'm sure you do too. If I believed half of them, man, I would be, you know, I'd be moving to Wyoming in a cave, you know.
Yep.
Don't even. Yep. I'd be in a cave in Wyoming.
Yep. So let's be Buddhist about it, and let's take the middle road.
Okay.
There will be some disturbances, primarily in the blue states, especially the left coast, the Northeast. There might be some minor disturbances in some of the more liberal cities in the conservative states, like Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But there, if you're in the red states, you're more than likely safe from whatever may be happening in terms of civil disturbance, unless you're in the middle of a really big city like Houston.
Yeah.
But even in Houston, as liberal as it is, there are lots of conservatives, and there are lots of people with firearms. This is Texas, after all.
Yes, it is.
And the Texans won't put up with a lot of stuff, and most of the folks in the red states, from the Carolinas through the Southwest, Arizona, aren't going to put up with much stuff. You notice Antifa was supposed to have a really big rally in Phoenix. Well, they were going to have a rally in Louis Farrakhan's neighborhood, because he owns a big mansion down there, and he goes down there to vacation and get away from it all in Chicago. Even he was against the Antifa being there.
Hmm.
But when the citizens showed up, the Arizonans showed up, armed to the teeth, because you can open carry in Arizona. They brought rifles, they brought handguns, they brought all sorts of stuff. The Antifa folks kind of disappeared into the woodwork. They didn't throw a rock, they didn't throw a Molotov cocktail. You know, no one got really angry. No one got in anyone else's face. They just kind of stood there for 15 minutes, waving their banners around, and then they left.
Who do you
That's
think?
About what's going to happen in the red?
Yeah, Dr. Wong, who do you? You do a lot of research and talk to people. Who do you think are the forces behind this? You know, all this turmoil in the cities. Do you have any theories or research? Do we know?
Yeah, the Antifa bank accounts. Excuse me, the Antifa bank accounts can be traced back to companies linked to George Soros.
I've heard that.
The BLM bank accounts pour directly into the Biden campaign.
Really?
Those have already been traced. Yeah. What? Yeah, they did all the major tracing of you know, this non-government organization gets mm-hmm. funded here and there, and they just goes right back into the Biden account, which goes back into the DNC. We have basically the left funding all the commotion of the country.
Just politically thinking, well, if things go to hell in a handbasket, then we're gonna win, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Oh yeah. Take a look at what happens when these Antifa people up in Portland or Seattle get arrested. They're big and brave and macho, and you're screaming in your face. And the second the cops take them down, they go into a fetal position and they start crying.
I saw some of the...
They're spoiled children who were never spanked. Mommy and daddy never took the time to give them three so that they never have to spank them again. They just have to give them that look. That look that, that you and I, our generation, was familiar with when we got from our mom or our dad. We knew a whooping was coming next. We'd better settle down. These kids never got that spanking. They never got the whooping, and they never got the look.
Oh, whooping. Oh, whooping's be coming. Oh, whooping be coming. Do you, what's your opinion? Do you think the political left in general has a clue that they're being controlled by the globalists? Because it appears that they are. Do you think I'm correct with that assertion?
Oh, good. Absolutely. I think they like it.
You like it?
Father Malachi Martin, the exorcist,
right,
said that the perfectly possessed are perfectly happy. And the way these folks are walking around and what they're advocating and what they're doing kind of shows that they're perfectly happy being perfectly possessed. the way the insanity of some of these folks shows that there's something in their psyche that's operating that might not exactly be kosher.
Ah, well put. So the perfectly possessed are perfectly happy. I like that. It's pretty interesting. So it's a real, see, appears like a spiritual disconnect where one doesn't have to take responsibility for what they're doing. Right, they just kind of do it, right? Just kind of do it.
When you see them crying on the street when they're getting arrested, that's the disconnect. All of a sudden, the evil spirit part of them kind of goes off to the corner, and the little child is left. The possessed person is left. They're crying and whimpering and kicking and screaming. And I've been a good boy. I'm a teacher. I'm a this. I'm a that. You can't do this to me.
God, yeah. Love them. I'm seeing more and more blogs and videos and all kinds of folks that are running the meme that just don't count on this election being over on November 3rd. It's going to be about another month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Boy, that's really being sold. So what's your take on that?
That's the way to contest the election. You see how many votes you need to dig up to defeat the votes that actually happened on November the 3rd, and then you send them in through the mail. You know, vote early and often, vote Democrat. The Republican ballots will get chucked in the disposal. In one state, all the Democrat ballots were marked with a serial number and an R. All the Republican ballots were marked with a serial number and a D.
I've seen those pictures,
The postal equipment that Nancy Pelosi was complaining that Trump was getting rid of actually hasn't been used since the 1990s. And they wanted that particular set of equipment to sort out the D's from the R's so that they could dump all the R's and keep all the D's. Hillary Clinton did that in New York State when she ran for senator after she had JFK Jr. killed off. Hillary had all of the mail-in ballots for Republicans disposed of, and there were garbage disposal places found with tons of Republican ballots.
So it used to be, I think, where the ballots had to be kind of in and counted or so at a certain time. And has that all been extended state by state because of COVID? Or do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
What used to happen is they counted the ballots of the people who went to the voting booth the same day, and then they counted all the absentee ballots. Some states started counting the absentee ballots ahead of time.
Yes, sir. All right.
But usually they don't want to do that because then it gives a lean to one candidate or another should someone disclose what the results have been.
Yeah.
So they usually wait to count the absentee ballots on election day and after, and usually they're just thrown into the mix.
Dr. William Wong, if you care to join us, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. His website, he's got a great site and some really cool supplements that he's been cultivating over the years, especially for your boys. If you like to be more of a boy, he's got a lot of stuff in that department. It's called drwongsessentials.com. Dr. Wong's Essentials. .com. You can see it there on the screen. Do you, what's your take on just the average bear, woman and child, and listening today to you, no matter where they live? Maybe they're a little bit shy about getting some kind of a weapon. Talk to them about that. Do you think, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I even have a gun around the house, you know, it's just a problem because maybe I'll have to use it. I mean, what's your whole theory on that? I know you've been thinking about this. And
you know, we teach our kids not to blow up the house with the gas stove. The most dangerous thing in any house is a gas stove. We teach our kids not to play with matches. You teach them not to stick their head in the toilet. You teach them not to do all sorts of stuff, not to walk out in front of traffic. We should teach them about firearms. In the old Soviet Union, no guns were allowed to be had by the private folks, but they were all taught in school about firearm safety and how to handle weapons in case they ever needed to fight for Mother Russia. Here, we lock everything away. Oh, no, don't touch them. It might go off. And we treat them with a great deal of paranoia these days when that's what causes accidents. If a child doesn't know, if you don't satisfy a child's curiosity about what things are and how things work, what they can do, then they have no clue about what actually happens when you mess with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start off by saying that all the figures you see from the left on the number of firearms accidents and shootings in the country are absolutely fabricated. The number of accidental discharges where people get hurt is in the low thousands, like maybe 1,000, 2,000 a year tops. The number of people actually killed by firearms in homicides in the United States, I think for 2018 or 2017, where we had the numbers, was something like 3,000 or 4,000. So the numbers bandied about by the left are pure fabrication. If we want to be safe around firearms, we need to teach both the parents and the child how to handle the firearms. I started teaching my kids firearm safety when they were four. Before I ever took them to the range when they were four, they could recite all four of the firearm safety rules. My kids still do that to their kids. And they've all started shooting, and they're all excellent shots. And one of the first things you do is you take an orange or a water, a milk jug, fill it with water, and you shoot it with something, and you show them what a bullet can do.
Wow.
And from then on, they know, and they get scared, and they know to keep rule number one, which is never point a weapon at anything you don't want to see destroyed. Real easy. So you teach them the rules, just like you teach them not to mess with your transmission lever in the car, not to turn on the gas and whatever else. And then you teach them proper use of the firearm, same way you teach them how to drive, same way you teach them how to cook, same way you teach them how to keep the fingers out from under the needle when you're sewing, although nobody teaches sewing anymore. That way we keep everyone safe around firearms, and you've got the firearm in case you need to use it to defend yourself.
Yeah.
By the time the poop hits the fan and you, oh my God, I wish I had a gun, it's too late. Right now, there are almost no guns to be had anywhere because they're selling so quickly.
I've
Smith
read that.
Smith & Wesson is like
too
many months behind.
Is that right?
Yeah. Go to Gun Broker. The only guns that are left in just about any store in Gun Broker are the really serious hunting guns, which you can use for self-defense, but it's not that easy, or the collectibles, which are mega bucks, and you wouldn't, unless you were really desperate, you wouldn't use a collectible for self-defense anyway.
I heard a caller, excuse me, on KLBJ, my old station that you and I were on, and he was calling in, and they were talking about something, and he was saying that he's been to three different places, and he named them, I think, you know, sporting goods places, Dick's and all the places, you know, and they didn't have any ammo. Three different places. They didn't have any ammo. And the guy was serious. I mean, he sounded like a pretty reasonable guy. Wow.
When you can find it, it's a buck around, regardless of caliber.
Wow.
Caliber, little caliber, it's a dollar around. if you can find it. The rarest rocking horse doo-doo right now.
Dr. William Wong with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So even the kind of a firearm adverse people on their thing, and I'm really reading a lot of stuff, maybe I should just get something just in case. I'd rather have it than, you know, not need it, as you say. Yeah. Would they go for just a simple handgun like a Glock or something? What would you recommend they look at?
If you've never handled a handgun before, a revolver is your best bet.
Revolver.
But for home defense, to defend your family, close up, shotgun.
Whoa.
Simple pump action shotgun. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to auto load or whatever else. And for the smaller folks, lighter folks, or folks who are just scared of the noise of the recoil, one of the best shotguns is a 410. Now, Mossberg has a 410 home defense gun, which works really well. And these days, there are 410 shotgun shells that are made for self-defense that'll put 7 holes in somebody if you shoot them with it. Really great for home defense. Doesn't make a lot of noise. Won't go through the walls and hit the folks on the other side. And easy to maneuver, easy to use. When you deal with something like an autoloader, all of a sudden you've got the functioning rules to deal with. You need a lot more instruction than you do using a shotgun. Now, the shotgun pattern, everyone thinks a shotgun has a really wide spread. Across a room, a shotgun will have a spread about as big as a pie plate, maybe smaller. So you have to be as accurate as that. And it's not the same skill set as using a pistol accurately. To use a pistol well, you need to be taught how to use a handgun. You need to spend at least the equivalent of 50 rounds a week to stay proficient with a handgun.
Really? Wow.
Whereas the long arms are more of a gross motor skill, and especially the shotguns are basically point and shoot. You don't have to be super accurate, but you do have to be accurate. And across a room, across from one side of a backyard to another, if someone's climbing over your fence with a Molotov cocktail, then the super accurate, you know, 1,000-yard thing, the sniper thing, isn't involved. You basically point, metal on meat, bang, and take on the next guy.
I had this idea that just flashed in my head while you were talking. What about putting out a big NRA sign in your front yard or something like that, and maybe people will just pass you, maybe they just pass you by, you know, if they're looking for a place to rob. You know? I don't know.
I've known guys who have put up signs saying, "My neighbor hates guns, so please be considerate of my neighbor next door who has no firearms." Blah, blah, blah. And you know, which is kind of a warning.
Yeah.
I've known folks who say, "Oh, well, my neighbor next door has a gun, and if there's trouble, I'll run over there and he'll defend me." Why should he defend you? He's busy his own family. Why should he take care of you, you lazy ass?
You lazy arse. Okay, we're going to do a quick little break here. Stay right there, Doc. Dr. William Wong, he's always fun to talk to. He, you know, we just don't know what's going to come out there. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. This is a great product that we really love. Check it out. Here's a short explanation how this product, Pearlseum, works with our teeth from Dr. Rulin Zhu.
So basically, when you brush your teeth with the pearl, make your existing teeth stronger and also fitting up, because our teeth is being harmed every day by what we eat. It can become porous or weak, even loose part of the bones. So when you brush teeth with the Pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
So it's actually stimulating new growth on the teeth in a natural way and not painting something over it?
It is very natural. It makes existing teeth stronger. New growth of the bone, it is very beautiful color. You know, it's kind of like a pearl.
Yeah.
And especially the pearl, it's a crystal. And so when it grows, the bone is the most healthy way.
Yeah, we love this product. Give it a try if you'd like. Click on the Pearl CM ad on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. We have it set up to go to the two container where you get a nice discount. But if you only want one to start, just click over to the single bottle and get that one. It's the Pearl CM, the ad right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. Man, it's great. Your teeth, I've never used anything so fun. And it's from Real Pearl. Real Pearl. Pearls actually get irritated. It's kind of like they watch the news, you know, and then they cry and that makes pearl. That's right. Or sometimes when they cry, they watch a sad movie and then they cry. And we've had people that say, well, I don't want to hurt a pearl. Actually, Dr. Rulin says that when you gather the pearls from the oysters, they actually make more pearls. They kind of like it to gather up. And then she figured out a way how to crystallize this powder, which was from a living source of pearl, into a mineral that's heavy on calcium, hence Pearl CM, but it's got a lot of other minerals as well. And then you can take this internally. And if you want to gauge your calcium intake, this is the only calcium I would ever kind of take, the rocks and all those, you know, you don't want to do that. You have no idea where it ends up. But this is from a real living source. And the Max Planck Institute, they talked years ago about, you don't want to put anything in unless it's from a kind of a living source. Try not to anyway. Lots of times it could be from some kind of a lab and it could be used as a medicine, so it's fine. Anyway, there's 1,000 milligrams of pure calcium in a teaspoon. 1,000 in a teaspoon. So you can go by, you know, your weight. Morley Robbins recommends 5 milligrams of magnesium per body weight, and then half of that in calcium. So you can do that as your calcium if you want to take some, or just drink some moo juice and you'll get some calcium too. Anyway, Perseum is a pretty cool thing, and it's on OneRadioNetwork.com. Check it out. We love this product, we love the company, and we think you'll like it too. Recently, we talked with Dr. David Minkoff, MD, about his patients and toxins.
We test them for environmental toxins, and we look at their teeth, and we look at their diet, and we do a look at their gut, and they're loaded. It is a radical 360 assault on our bodies, what we're living in today in terms of our environment. It's remarkable what you find on people, like how much stuff they've accumulated. You know, they need to get in the sauna three or four times a week, and they need to filter. The water systems in the United States are full of environmental toxins.
I know when we talked to Dr. Rawi, he was a big fan of these far infrared saunas and getting the sweat out, and he used to test the sweat and everything. Do you do that, a far infrared, and then you, what kind of saunas do you do?
I have them get, there's some pretty economical, really good portable saunas that people can get. And I think it's like mandatory, if you're living on planet Earth now, you better get in a sauna three times a week for half an hour and really sweat, because no matter how careful you are, you're getting full of stuff that you don't want in your body that are toxic and carcinogenic.
Yes, we've been promoting and using for years, 10 years now, the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. It's a portable, about 1,000, really nice units, boy. They get hot, and boy, you sweat, and it's great.
Great unit.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, oh, great unit. We think so. We've been promoting these, I guess, 12 years now, and I think it's helped me to stay in my body and not have my body fall apart. Well, whatever. But you'll sweat, and you'll enjoy it, and The price that we offer it is $1,150. So $1,150 delivered in the lower 48. For those of you in Portland, that does include Alaska or Hawaii. We ship them all over the world, and we can ship them with the proper plug voltage. So we ship them to Canada, Australia, everywhere around the world. Just email me, tell me where you live, and I'll give you the price to you. That's the only way to get this price. $1,150, lower 48. Just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
Well, we're talking with Dr. William Wong, who has been at the health game for a very long time. Dr. Wong, how are you feeling these days? You taking care of yourself?
I'm trying to. I think I'm doing pretty good. For
old guy. You look great. Do you still lift weights and all that?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, if you go on Facebook, I've got a whole bunch of pictures of my gym. Yeah.
Really.
Doesn't build as big a bunch of muscles as I used to have.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I was wearing a 48 jacket. I'm down to a 44 now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. How often do you lift weights?
2 to 4 times a week. Huh? Depends on how I feel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You talked before that you used to have a kind of rough living, and what was it, football and stuff, and too much weight early on. You really did a job on some of your joints, huh?
You know, the knees got destroyed by plyometric work. And I loved plyometric work. That's where you could jump up and down from boxes and run up stadium steps and you do all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
And wind sprints. I loved wind sprints. So I destroyed my knees with that, and a really bad parachute landing fall did in one of my knees. But yeah, most of the damage that I've done to my joints has been from either exercise, motor vehicle accidents, or bad parachute landing falls.
How important do you think it is, kind of a softball question underhand, but just for everybody listening and their hormone and especially their testosterone levels, if we get back to the idea of having the mojo to deal with, I guess, whatever comes around in the future, whether it be political, food thing that we want to talk about, or financial. Do you think the testosterone in general helps people to just deal with life better?
Yeah.
The good levels?
Testosterone is drive. Testosterone is strength. Testosterone is the ability to put into action what you want to do.
Huh.
We talk about the dreamer and the lover. The dreamer, Joseph Campbell tells us, wants to accomplish great things,
yes,
do great things. And then it's the warrior that has to actually take the plan and put it into action.
Yes, sir.
So we have the action between the dreamer and the warrior. Without the testosterone, you don't have a warrior. Testosterone and dopamine are the things that decline with age. Both of them go into libido, but both of them also go into the physical drive to go construct a house, work on your car, go to the bank and actually get things done, get up in the morning and go through your day and accomplish all of your list of things that you would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Without the mental drive that testosterone gives, and as it boosts dopamine, then we begin to lack the will to get up and do things. Yeah, we might want to go buy some silver. Yes, we might want to go start an exercise program. Yes, we might want to go work on that water retention thing that will help to feed our family with water. Okay. If, the water is, the city water gets cut off. But you may never get off your ass and actually do it unless you've got the testosterone. So when we're told by our doctors that, your testosterone's normal, it's normal for your age. Well, I put it to you that since lack of testosterone and declining dopamine is the road to decrepitude and death, then normal for your age means that you're on the road to decrepitude and death. In anti-aging medicine, we look to get people back up to the hormone levels they had in their 20s. 18 to 20 is the ideal. And if we can get you, we won't get you to it, but we can get you close to it in terms of your thyroxine, your testosterone, your dopamine production. If you take a look, Dr. Morton, not Morton Walker, it was Morton, Morgenthaler, wrote a book on brain chemistry and on brain boosting. And he talked about all these anti-Parkinson's medications. which work great for brain boosting. And we're now seeing that things like lion's mane mushrooms are working into that. And even the drug gabapentin is working into that, because these mushrooms are neurogenic. They help to create new brain cells. Since the brain cells don't regenerate themselves, you got to make new ones out of stem cells. The testosterone in there, the brain has the largest number of testosterone receptors of any organ in the body. The reason for that is because the medial amygdala of the brain increases in size with the level of testosterone goes up. And that gives you all the drive to go out and do things.
Can you correlate, say, low testosterone levels to in our culture of people being programmed then?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that yes. ties in, right?
Right, because all of the soy boys, all of the betas
out soy boys.
are, yeah, they're all just kind of, you know, I don't want to do things. I don't, Mom, come on, Mom. I don't want to get a job. I'm playing video games, you know? So those are the guys with low drive, low ambition. They're perfect slave material.
And how is it for T levels and women?
Women should have the testosterone levels they had back when they were horny as hell.
Really?
Most gals remember back between 18 and their late 20s when a good breeze would get them going. You know, cat would walk by, kind of rub on their leg, you know. So, and then after the first child or after 35, testosterone levels go down, estrogen levels go up. With the estrogen comes the prolactin. Whether they've given birth or not, prolactin levels elevate. And prolactin is the hormone of, don't touch me, get away from me, I don't want to know you. So as the estrogen and prolactin go up, and the T goes down, there goes the drive.
Huh.
There goes the ambition. There goes the, you know, I'm going to break through the glass ceiling. No, that doesn't happen when your estrogen is up and your prolactin is up. You sit at home and eat bonbons.
Can women listening in that age group that's kind of relating to what you're saying, can they balance that out simply by taking tea foods or tea, you know, like we have the pine pollen we promote with tea, or even the low T centers? And I hear those on the radio all the time. Boy, low T center, boy, free, yep. We're going to test you. And what do they give? They threw BBs in their butt or something like that? And that's kind of really...
Yeah. The calcium pills that they implant, just like the gals use the implantable birth control, this is implants of other different hormones, and they last for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay. They keep you from having to get an injection of hormones every week. They keep you from dosing wrong if you're using the hormone creams. And you don't want to ever use the oral hormones except for progesterone, because the oral hormones do have the tendency of causing liver cancer, whether it's testosterone or estrogen, you know, birth control pills or a testosterone pill. Since they're methylated so that they don't get taken out of the body as they go through the bloodstream, that stripping the methylation from the hormone is really hard on the liver. And after a while, the liver begins to get damaged and in the extreme can get cancerous. So either injectable hormones, topical hormones, or the hormone implants are okay, but the orals are usually not, except progesterone. Progesterone is the exception.
Sorry, I just sneezed. What is, in your opinion, the safest, kind of most effective hormone supplementation for boys and girls that you found over the years that doesn't knock?
That depends on age.
I'm sorry?
That depends on age. Under 35, under 40, we can use herbs like maca,
mm-hmm.
ashwagandha,
mm-hmm.
and some other herbs to create luteinizing hormone release. The luteinizing hormone tells either the ovaries or the testicles to make testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
But after 45, 50, that doesn't work as well anymore. You see all these ads on TV for all these pro-testosterone supplements, and you see this 90-year-old guy, and he's taking them, and he's all buff and whatever. Ah, crock of absolute horse dookie. We go into either menopause or andropause because the body stops making luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone, so the pituitary begins to go dysfunctional, or we go into either ovarian failure or testicular failure.
Yeah.
The supplements will work on the folks who have the pituitary dysfunction, but they won't work on the folks who have either the ovarian or the testicular failure. Those folks, which is 50% of the population, need to get the medical hormones, the testosterone or the progesterone or whatever, either injected as a cream or however else.
Oh, so they have safe creams for testosterone that guys and girls can rub on there?
Oh, God, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yep. My beef with the creams. The body makes, a male body makes 7 to 10 milligrams of testosterone a day.
Mm-hmm.
The female body makes somewhere between 3 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Real horny gals make 7. They're fun to be around. So if you take a look at the creams, the topicals, suppose they start off with the supposition that we absorb hormones very poorly through the skin. So they'll dose you at 50 to 100 milligrams. That's 10 times more than your body made when you were 18 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And the University of Dublin Pharmacy School found out that topical hormones are absorbed 95 to 97%. They're absorbed better than oral. Orally taken hormones are only absorbed 5%. The stuff we put on our skin gets absorbed 95 to 97%. A lot of it depends on the carrier that they mix it with. But typically, 95 to 97%. So my beef with the topical hormones is that we need to take a day's supply and kind of divide it up into 5 to 7 days.
Wow.
And then we'll be closer to what we usually make in a day. That's a pain in the ass to do. The injections turn out better. The injections should do once or twice a week. If you're seriously training, then you need to avoid the roller coaster effect that happens with the injections, and you inject half a dose twice a week. If you don't care, then you inject once a week. If you use certain medications like Sustanon 250 or the testosterone ethanate, you can inject once every 2 weeks, which is really convenient. You don't feel like a pincushion that way.
So we do an injection. Aren't these lab kind of chemical things? The body's okay with that? They do okay?
Actually, you know, these aren't cooked up in a test tube.
They're
you
not.
Know, the you don't have Merlin making, you know, making it whatever. What's known as synthetic hormones are whittled away from any kind of fat. We can take coconut oil, we can take Mexican yam, we can take avocado, we can take any fat, vegetable or animal-based, and whittle it down into a bioidentical hormone, because that's what a hormone is. It's a piece of fat that you take a whittling knife to, and you make it smaller and smaller and smaller. And you can add parts, and you can take away parts, and whatever. Since it's fat, it's kind of pliable. You can glue stuff back on. You can just whittle stuff away. So since fats are changeable like that, we can take any fat and turn it into a hormone. We don't have to take the hormones from animal glands, for example. So while a bull's testosterone or a horse's testosterone is almost the same as human testosterone, the bioidentical ones made from Mexican yam or even soy, they leave the estrogen out. You know, they whittle it down to just making testosterone or progesterone. The bioidentical hormones are exactly like the ones that we make. There's no variance. So they blend perfectly into our hormone receptors and work as well as the stuff we made back when we were kids.
That's interesting. Do you sell the creams that you do you sell? No.
No. We used to make a pro testosterone cream that you would slather on,
right,
and it would turn into testosterone, but in itself was not testosterone. It was one step away. But that ingredient is now nowhere to be found in the world.
Whoa.
I have searched the world from Argentina to India. I've gone everywhere, and you can't find that the primary ingredient in that cream. So we just stopped making it.
So what was the ingredient?
That's a trade secret.
Oh, I see.
Patrick.
Okay. So if folks are, you know, listening, they're probably saying, man, I want to get one of these creams, girls or boys. How do they do that? Is it a prescription thing?
Yes.
Is it?
Yep. You've got to go find an anti-aging doc.
Okay.
And honestly, these days, the best ones around are either the Sotopelli docs, Sotopelli, I think, or the BioT Medical. Those are both of those do the implants. The good thing about the implants, they test you beforehand. They put the pellets in. They test you again to make sure you're close to the levels they want. They'll keep on testing you until they get you to where you're producing. You either have the hormone level in your mid-20s, late 20s, and then they'll keep it there. But the good thing about the pellets is you do it once every 3 or 4 months. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, really? And so I'd always think that, you know, being a kind of a natural dude, that if you give the body this testosterone, that it's going to quit making it on its own. No?
You quit making it anyway. That's why you went into andropause.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see. Okay.
If you hadn't stopped making it, you'd still be 18.
You'd still be 18? Yeah. Dr. William Wong is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. I don't know how we went from defending ourselves to testosterone to, I don't know, so somehow
we always wind up here.
We always wind up here. I don't know how it is. Please ask Dr. Wong, this is from Rick, about checking your estrogen levels as an older guy and what to do if it's too high. Rick.
Everyone needs to get not just their estradiol. The doctors mainly test for estradiol because they think that estrone is a weak hormone. There are three human estrogens: estradiol, estrone, and estriol. Estriol is the safe estrogen. We make very little of that, but it's okay. Not carcinogenic, not feminized, not really feminized. It is slightly. But the two really bad hormones are estradiol and estrone. The docs check for the estradiol. They never check for the estrone. So you have to make your doc check for estradiol and estrone, and then you have to have them check for your progesterone, because you need to know what the ratio of progesterone is to estrogen. You need 200 to 300 units of progesterone to balance 1 unit of estrogen. So since we stopped making progesterone somewhere in our late 40s, we need to put that in. Then we need to take a look at not just our total testosterone level. That number's meaningless because at any given time, 99% of the testosterone can be inactivated by a glob called SHBG. We need to know what our free testosterone levels are, and that's what the active testosterone is. So we need to keep our estradiol and estrone levels below the 20 mark. So in the high single digits is better. Low double digits is great. You don't want to be without it altogether because the joints start getting achy. You want to have your testosterone level the same as it was back in your late 20s. You want to have a progesterone level high enough that it helps to balance off the estrogen. And that means that you've got to put it in. Since you're not making it anymore, you put it in with the creams or you take it orally and you build up your progesterone level. Progesterone gets stored in the body. And you build it up to the mid three, high three-digit numbers. I've known folks with four-digit progesterone numbers. That's perfectly okay, very benign. You can ask Dr. Pete. And these folks are actually happy. The hormones of happiness are dopamine, testosterone, and progesterone. If you've got really good high levels of that, it'll be really hard to be depressed.
Interesting, Dr. William Wong. So that's why you do have a little cool little progesterone cream you sell, right? That's very clean in a tube.
Yes.
Last time we talked, you would recommend even guys and girls do a little dab of that every day, right? A little dab?
Oh, gosh, yes. You take a look at all the studies being done with stem cell regeneration of the brain. The first thing the researchers do before they even inject the stem cells is they soak the patient in progesterone.
Wow.
Progesterone causes the growth of brain cells. Think of a baby in the womb. What's causing the baby's brain? What's causing the baby's everything to grow is progesterone. We know that progesterone is neurogenic. It helps to grow nerve cells and brain cells. So it will take a totipotent cell, a stem cell, and help to convert it into a brain cell. So in the stem cell research on neuroregeneration, they bathe the patient in progesterone. The men don't get feminized. The women don't get overprogestinated, if there's ever such a thing. I don't think Dr. Pete will ever say that someone has too much progesterone. And so then they put in the stem cells, and then they put in all the neurogenic factors like the mushrooms or whatever else to help the stem cells work. And they're regenerating brain cells with progesterone. So we should never fear progesterone at any level, you know, three digits and up, because it's a wonderful preserver of the entire body.
Interesting.
Also, get a migraine, especially a gal with a migraine during her period, if she swabs some progesterone cream across her forehead, then usually if her migraine is caused by low progesterone, high estrogen, the headache will go away.
Interesting. And what's the name of that product that you like, the little tube one? It's a what's on your website?
Karuna Pure. K-A-R-U-N-A, Karuna Pure.
Karuna Pure.
It's only progesterone. There's nothing else in there.
Hmm. And that's on drwongsessentials.com, right?
Yes, and, exactly, yes. And the folks who want to take a look at our pro-testosterone stuff can look at the Andean Essence Max and the Enkindle. The Enkindle has been interesting. I couldn't put everything I wanted to put into a pro-testosterone supplement into one supplement, because you put too much in and none of it works, because none of it is at a threshold level for creating a physiological response. So I separated them out. But it turns out that the product that I made to make testosterone is the thing that is now being used in women's clinics to fight postpartum depression.
No, really?
I would have never guessed this stuff worked on postpartum depression. But apparently it's the cat's meow. The Enkindle is the thing to take for gals having postpartum depression.
What kind of things in there on the label do you see
There are Brazilian herbs to help make testosterone and progesterone. There are Chinese herbs to help, again, create luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone in the pituitary to help facilitate to tell the testicles or the ovaries to take the other stuff and turn it into progesterone and testosterone.
Wow. And do you recommend for the guys to do both the Enkindle and the Essence? Do both?
Yes.
Do you need
along with zinc and magnesium, because you can't make hormones without zinc and mag.
Got to have the mag, right?
You got to have the mag, and you got to have the zinc, because without them both, both are essential cofactors for making hormones.
So zinc is in things like oysters, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oysters, red meat, grains, whole grains.
Mm-hmm.
We are the most zinc-deficient folks in the Western world. According to Ham's histology, his histology is a study of tissues, zinc is the most important mineral for epithelial tissue. It is the foundational building block for skin, muscles, eyes, and all the internal organs, and it is an essential cofactor for making all hormones.
Do you yourself personally take extra zinc every day?
We make the strongest zinc in the nutritional industry. It's 100 milligrams of elemental zinc, of real zinc, per capsule. Most of the time you get a zinc supplement and it's 15 to 30 milligrams of stated weight, which is the RDA. But we're looking at a blend. Since we're blending a chelating agent with a mineral, then that's the weight that they give you on the label is a total weight for the product, but not the how zinc. Much zinc is actually in there.
No.
So you've got to do your math. If it doesn't tell you what the elemental zinc is, you've got to figure 15%. So 15% of 30 is what, 4.5? So in a 30 milligram, let's say zinc picolinate, zinc citrate, zinc whatever, you've only got 4.5 milligrams of actual zinc in there. Our zinc citrate has 100 milligrams of zinc. And, you know, folks, there's a whole big scare thing about zinc. Oh, if you take too much zinc, you'll get toxic, whatever. We've had docs take three of ours a day. They've had their patients take three of ours a day, and all they got was horny. They didn't get sick. None of them ever got zinc.
What does it mean, elemental zinc? What does that mean, elemental zinc?
Okay, the actual mineral.
Oh.
Whenever you take a look at a mineral product, look at the label and see if it tells you what the actual elemental mineral content is. Because that's how much mineral is actually in there. If not, then the industry standard is 50%. So you have to do your math.
I see. Well, you know, they've got this old wives' tale about oysters, right, being very kind of, you know, libido enhancing and all that, right? Oysters.
If you're zinc deficient, yeah.
If you're, you know, but I just don't think that's true. I can remember one day in New Orleans, I had a whole dozen oysters, you know, and only 10 of them worked, Doc. I mean, so I just, I knew you'd like that. Okay. don't mind me. I'm just totally, only 10 of them worked. Dr. William Wong, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, okay, get her T levels up, get her progesterone levels up. Let's talk a little bit about food. So you're kind of I would say it's safe to say you're a survivalist kind of a guy, right? You're prepared for the worst, hope for the best kind of thing.
I've been since the 70s.
Wow. So what do you do personally for you and your wife for food? I mean, what are you looking at here in the next 6 months? I mean, do you have a concern about supply?
Yes. We have had the, not the COVID, send all of the folks who worked in meatpacking plants, most of whom were illegal aliens. And you know, you got a place like Storm Lake, Iowa, filled with illegal aliens at their meatpacking plants. Really weird situation there. They all went home because they were afraid of catching COVID here. The meatpacking plants closed down. You just had that big storm throughout Iowa and Nebraska that wiped out whatever percent of the U.S. corn supply. You've got China has lost 50% of their pigs due to the pig flu, 50% of their crops due to the rains. You've got other places in the world that have been adversely affected in their food production mainly due to COVID's, sometimes a combination of COVID's and the weather.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a situation where we're probably going to have food shortages in a good bit of the world. And one of the things that we do in survivalism, now called preparedness or preppies, God, I hate that word.
He's a preppy.
We try to put away over time a good supply of food. Like, for example, I'm not Mormon, but the Mormons teach that you should have a year's supply of food for your family. You know, when they got to Utah, very desolate place, middle of the desert, they had to have food. So we have to do what the Mormons do and put away at least a year's supply of food for our family. Unfortunately, right now, the companies that sell the long-term storage food, they're all back-ordered 3 to 6 months.
Is that right?
They're being affected by the shortages in the crop supply, and they're being affected by increased demand.
Wow. So these package things, which probably is not your best choice anyway, right? I mean, because I mean, who knows what that food is even. You know? Have you ever found a company that was like really good stuff?
Yeah. When you're looking at survivalism.
What does it matter, right? Just feed me.
you buy it cheap and pack it deep.
Pack it deep. But how about things,
you know?
What about things like sardines? They got a long shelf life. Are that good? Grains? Rice?
They get mealy, so you have to be careful.
Oh.
One of the things I love to put up is I take a, you get a plastic barrel, you throw in a 25-pound bag of rice, you throw in a 25-pound bag of pinto beans, and you've got food for X amount of time. But that will get mealy. You can't leave it there forever. It only has a particular storage life, unless you can vacuum out the air and pump in nitrogen or some sort of an inert gas to keep the mealy bugs gestating and being born.
Yeah.
So there are, in survivalism, you're going to have to deal with whatever is available. So there are no survival health foods. Vegetarians are dead. And vegans are especially dead because there ain't no survival vegan food.
That's true. You
can't put away enough of this stuff unless you mason jar it yourself and you line the shelves with it. You know, you have to do it yourself if you want it. But if you're just regular, you and your wife go out and work every day, you've got your kids, whatever, and then a situation happens where you've got a hurricane, a nuclear war, God knows what, asteroid falling from the sky.
Whatever.
What are you going to eat? You know, these days, since the supply of long-term storage food is now basically nil, you're just going to have to go to a dollar store and buy a flat 24 cans of of Joe Blow's bean, Spam, armored treat, you know, and just put it away. Powdered milk is great. You can do a lot with powdered milk.
Really?
Get the puddings, get all the desserts, because you're going to want something sweet and you're going to want something nice, because it's going to be very depressing in a survival situation. So you have something to, to elevate the mood, and a bowl of Jell-O is really great to have.
Years ago, we interviewed a fellow doc up in Wisconsin who had this hand-harvested wild rice, and I got all turned on to it, right? And I bought a bunch. I don't know why I bought so much. But I've had it in a nice plastic thing, and then I put it in one of those Home Depot, tubs, that lock down real tight.
Mm-hmm.
And this day, that rice, it's still happy. There's no bugs in there. It's pretty cool. I mean, I go down, every couple months or 3 months, and I'll get a big, I guess it, if you keep the bugs out, you're good, right?
Yes. The mealy bugs that are in all commercial products, all commercial grain products. For example, my wife opened up some flour, almost brand new bag of flour. She opened it up last week or the week before, and they were all the mealy bugs.
Really?
We opened up a bag of rice, and they were all the mealy bugs.
Hmm.
Maybe we're getting to the point where someone is bringing really old stuff that they've got stored away from the food warehouses to the stores.
Right.
Maybe we're dealing with new old stock, so that's why they're getting buggy faster. I think it's because they're all GMO, because GMO stuff spoils a lot faster.
I wonder
than non-GMO stuff.
I wonder why that is. Is there something in there with the glyphos?
No.
Screw it up. Yeah.
They, just like that commercial back in the 70s, you can't mess with Mother Nature.
That's right. What was that? Was that the butter
don't
one?
Mess with God's creation.
Was that butter or, I don't know, something like, well, one of those.
Like that.
Yeah, what about the fat? We want fat. Can we store fat? I guess you can, right?
According to the Mormons, you need salt.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the water. Water is the number one thing.
Sure.
You got to have a supply of water. You need salt, fat, then a particular ratio, I think, of carbs and protein, and they all kind of put that together. And I'm sorry, I was looking for the Mormon food book that I've got somewhere, and I didn't get it here before we started the show. But you can look online and see what the Mormons say is a requirement for food, because they have the most experience on this stuff. And yeah, that's about what it is. Salt, fat, carbon, and protein.
How they did the fat storage? What did they do, the Mormons?
Oh, it was all animal fat. They rendered animal fat. Yeah. So, for example, if they would store meat, they would take meat and either they semi-cooked it or they left it raw, and then they would render the fat from the animal. And in a barrel, they would begin with a layer of fat, then they put the meat in it, then they put another layer of fat, then they put more meat in it. The aim was to keep it from oxygenating, and that keeps it from spoiling.
And without refrigeration?
Yes.
Whoa. Wow. How about you for protein? Do you freeze a lot of meats, or what do you do?
We've got, I think I've got a half a cow in a couple of freezers, but if the electricity goes, there goes the stuff. You can run your generator until you run out of fuel. You're eventually going to run out of fuel because you're not going to get resupplied regardless of how much you've got. So, the best thing to do is to use the pre-cooked freeze-dried meat, and then you mix that with whatever broths or vegetables you've got that have also been freeze-dried. And I've got my own freeze dryer.
Yeah.
And you can basically put away the foods that your family is most used to eating.
Now, canning's kind of cool, and we were going to try to find a good canning person and, talk to them. It's been a long time. I used to can a spaghetti sauce for a living, mom's spaghetti sauce we made. But the pH on that puppy, Doc, was about, 3.9. That was the thing that the Texas Department of Agriculture, that was the thing. They come in, they say, okay, keep it at 3.9, you'll be good. And then the shelf life on that spaghetti sauce was probably 5 years at 3.9. But if we do vegetables and other things, that's a much higher pH, and that's not going to, it doesn't last too long. Is that right, if my understanding, in my memory?
Yeah. I don't remember enough from what the Mormons taught me about canning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going back 30 years.
Wow.
But the Mormons actually have classes in their canneries and in their churches on how to do canning. Every church has got a little mini cannery in there.
I'll be.
And they will teach non-Mormons, and they'll be very happy to teach you how to do canning. But if I remember right, though, the higher the pH, the more likely it's going to eat through the lid.
That's right. Yeah, it just doesn't.
Yeah, you're dealing with the battery acid.
Doesn't last. We used to do a little bit of lemon juice in the spaghetti sauce. If the pH got just a little bit high, we could just put a little bit of lemon juice in there, and you couldn't taste it, but it kept it down there. Yeah, so maybe we'll go to the Mormons and do a show with some Mormon on the.
Good idea.
Yeah. Well, Doc, looks like we're in for a fun fall. Oh.
As the Chinese say, may you live in exciting
may
times.
May you live
that's
in exciting.
By the way, it's not a blessing.
May you live in exciting times. We're in for it, but we've got the gold and the guns and the goats. We have one desk. Guest on Tom Luongo. What's his website? Gold, guns, I don't know, goats, something like that. All right, kiddo, well, thanks for being here. I tell folks on Dr. Wong's Essentials some of the fun things they got there if they want to go visit. They've got, they can look at the testosterone things, right, and the progesterone things we talked about there.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can take a look at all of our supplements. The chief supplement we have is Zymescence, and I invite folks to go look for a lecture titled Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us. Just type that into your search engine, and you'll come on my YouTube site. That lecture is probably one of the most important things I've ever done. The lecture, again, is called Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us.
Oh, that Zymescence is the the enzymes, right? The systemic enzymes that you created,
yes, exactly.
Right? And you go way back with enzymes, right? You used to work with the Wobenzym.
Over 20 years.
Yeah, over 12. And so that's you think it's one of the best ones ever, right? The zymescence.
You know, when I studied with Mucus Pharma in Germany, I asked Dr. Ronsberger, I said, Doctor, can we make this stronger? Can we put more enzymes into each particular tablet? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, but Zenvy wouldn't sell as many pills. So I made myself the promise that whenever I got to make my own proteolytic enzyme supplement, I would use the strongest pharmaceutical grade proteolytic enzymes available, and I would pack as much as I possibly could into a capsule or a tablet. And I've actually managed to keep my promise to myself.
So zymescence, is that a capsule or a tablet?
It's a capsule.
It's a capsule.
It started off as a caplet, but then we changed what we made the enteric matrix out of to a substance that took up a lot less space. So we put in more enzymes and put it into a capsule because it worked better as a capsule with the new enteric matrix substance.
And these are the kind that you want to take away from food, right?
Well,
no.
With the zymescence, that's not as important.
Really?
And I'll tell you why.
Pop them down.
It takes 1/12 to 1/16 of the enzymatic action of one zymescence capsule to digest Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a minute. Say that again. What? What did you say?
It takes it takes the enzymatic action of 1/12 to 1/16 of one zymescence capsule to digest Thanksgiving. In other words, one zymescence capsule has enough enzymatic action to digest 12 Thanksgiving dinners.
Really?
So you couldn't eat enough food to waylay the enzymes to digestion that you wouldn't absorb them. So with my zymescence, that rule can get thrown out. With the other folks, yes, they're much weaker, and you have to follow the rule of not taking them with food because a lot of the enzymes will get waylaid into digestion and not get absorbed into the bloodstream.
If we only use a little bit of zymescence to digest our food, if you take it around a meal, it's just going to go and do all the other things, cleaning up stuff in the body.
You'll still get 80 some odd percent of the enzymes you took in, and that'll do the work, you know, of the systemic enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
The old rule is so hidebound that a lot of folks weren't able to take the enzymes because they were grazers. They always kind of, you know, were notching on something. So they never had that empty stomach that the old products demanded.
I see.
Their stomach was never empty enough that they could take the enzymes. So they wound up not taking them because they couldn't find a space in between their meals.
Interesting.
Large enough.
Interesting.
Because they were always eating or always notching or whatever else. With the enzymes, that's not a worry. With the zymescence, that's not a worry.
And you've been taking yours for quite a long time, haven't you, zymescence, right?
We started making them in 08.
Mm-hmm.
We improved them in 2010. And yes, I've been taking them since short of making them.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you how many revolutions around the sun have you had your body? How many?
I'm sorry?
How many revolutions around the sun, your age, we call age, and that you are?
I am 65.
65 revs. I'm curious, you have this nice, dark, natural hair, right? What do you attribute that to? Do you have any theories on why the gray thing starts early? Mine kind of did early. Now it's coming back, which is weird. but do you have any theory on why that
Supposedly, the gray hair is a lack of a couple of B vitamins and a couple of enzymes.
Huh.
That was a theory back in the 80s. I don't even remember which Bs they were. Fo Chi Ting was supposed to bring back hair color. We actually Chi Ting supplement, the strongest one in the industry, for a couple of years. And for some folks, yes, it brought back their hair color, and it grew great, you know, new hair. For others, it didn't. So ours didn't sell all that well, even though it did what it was supposed to do, because it doesn't work for everybody. So we just dropped selling it.
Yeah, that was
a
faux
tea. We don't make it anymore.
Yeah, the faux tea. Yeah. All right, my friend, thank you so much. It's been an honor having you on the show, Dr. Wong's Essentials.com.
Thank you.
Come back more often, because you're just fun to talk to. And all the best. And let us know. Bat in the hatches. Have some fun. Take your testosterone.
You will. God bless you. Be safe throughout these crazy times.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Doc. Dr. William Wong, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. And we're going to take the day off tomorrow, because that's what we do on Thursdays, and work on the screenplay. And we'll see you on Friday for Open Phone Friday on OneRadioNetwork.com. We got lots to talk about. So I love you all very much. Thank you for being here. We appreciate your ongoing support. Check out our website. We've got a lot of cool products and things like that if you want to, invest in your health. Check out the Hydrogen Machine. I think that's one of the reasons why my little hairs are getting darker. It's like crazy. I think I've been doing the Brown's Gas for about a year now. That's my theory. I can't prove it. Anyway, I will see you on Friday. I love you all very much, and may the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.